Hey everybody, this is Cam from the Nerdbook Review, where I strive to broaden your fantasy horizons. Today, I would like to talk about Miss Percy's Pocket Guide to the Care and Feeding of British Dragons by Quinby Olson. The title is quite the mouthful for sure. So, this was a delightful book that I am so happy I read. It is a Regency novel. For those of you who aren't sure what a Regency novel is, think Pride and Prejudice or Sense and Sensibility, but this one is fun and entertaining instead of taking itself seriously like those books all did. We have two point of view characters. Our main character is Miss Mildred Percy. She is 40 years old, unmarried, and in that time period, that qualifies her as a spinster. She lives with her sister and brother-in-law and is honestly treated as little better than a nanny to her sister's children. Her sister is overbearing. She has browbeaten Mildred for the last 20 years, which is how long she has been living with her sister and their family. Mildred did not intend to become a spinster. When she was around 20 years old, her father started to get sick, and she ended up taking care of him as the oldest daughter when the younger daughter, Diana, her sister, ended up going off and getting married to a gentleman. The second point of view character in the book is Reginald Hawthorne. Quinby Olson, our author, describes him as the villain of the story in the very first sentence of his first point of view chapter. Reginald doesn't think he's the villain, but he is definitely the villain. Reginald is described as being attractive, roughly 20 years old. His father was unfortunately an alcoholic and a gambler and lost whatever money the family may have had. So Reginald's big issue in this story starts off that he desires a way to restore his family's fortunes. The way the story unfolds is the very beginning of the book, Mildred's sister Diana is reading a letter that was actually addressed to Mildred that describes an inheritance that is due to Mildred from their great uncle Forthright, who is recently deceased. The next day, Mildred's inheritance shows up in the form of a trunk full of items. Luckily for Mildred, the rest of the family is out on a social call, which of course she has not been invited out to. That trunk includes a bunch of journals, books, also like things like fossils, stones, rocks, things like that, because her uncle was a naturalist. One of the items that happens to be in that trunk is a large stone in the shape of an egg that will become important very quickly on in the story. Mildred manages to hide away all of the treasures in her mind in her room, which is a little attic room in the at the top of the stairs, not very much at all. And then she tries to take the trunk outside to a disused outbuilding. She thinks that way that her sister will never know and won't force her to throw away all of the stuff that her sister no doubt thinks is junk. Along the way, she happens to run into the vicar, a Mr. Wiggins, who will become her partner in crime throughout the rest of this story, and he helps her hide that trunk away. He then helps her ferret the items out of her room and into his vicarage. For those of you who don't know what a vicarage is, I basically think like village preacher, the Anglican church. This becomes an important note a little bit later. With the Anglican church, unlike the Catholic church, the parish priests can get married. Because even though this is not your typical Regency novel, you know, there's going to be a little bit of romance because Regency novels have that. A couple days into moving things, that egg-shaped rock happens to hatch and out pops a dragon. Now, that might sound like I'm giving out spoilers, but if you've read the book blurb, all of this information that I've given you so far is in that book blurb. Once that dragon hatches, Miss Mildred Percy's boring and mundane life is obviously going to take a change for the better. And the rest of the novel is them dealing with the dragon, figuring out what they're going to do with it. There's no magic in this story, so the rest of the people in Regency-era England are not expecting a dragon, obviously. Since this is set in what's supposed to be our Regency England, when I say that, we think like roughly around 1800, late 1700s, Napoleon is around in the Regency time period, and he actually just gets a mention in this. Obviously, he's not in the story in any way, but so since we're dealing with that time period, we're supposed to be dealing with like a primary timeline, if you will, where set in our world. So We haven't dealt with magic. We haven't dealt with dragons and things like that in the past. The villain of our story, Mr. Reginald Hawthorne, he knows what that egg-shaped rock is, and he believes that that is going to change his family's fortunes because he thinks he'll be able to sell it and make a bunch of money off of it. And that's described in his first point of view chapter. So basically, our story is what's going to happen between Mildred and Reginald Hawthorne as he tries to get this egg back. And we'll also deal with a very slowly budding romance between Mr. Wiggins and Miss Percy. If you are not a fan of romance in your stories, then you don't have to worry too much. There is no there's no sex scenes or honestly, there's no real out-in-your-face romance even in it so far. It's very chaste and it's a very slow-developing relationship, as you might expect in this time period. What honestly made this story for me, though, isn't just Miss Percy or just Reginald Hawthorne, who, by the way, is actually a pretty good villain, especially to start off with. You do feel sympathetic towards him at first. He doesn't seem initially to be doing what he's doing just because he's a true villain, right? His father once had the egg and lost it gambling, and he thinks that if he can just get this egg back, that it will change his family's fortunes. And he's not necessarily even just thinking about himself in this case. But, you know, he's still a villain of the story, and obviously you're not always going to love him as a character, but he's not a character that you just immediately hate either. So he was done very well. But the secondary characters in this are, I think, what really made the story for me. Mrs. Babington is the maid for Mr. Wiggins, the vicar. She makes just a ton of cakes and baked treats that just make you absolutely hungry while you're reading it. She loves children, so she's always helping Miss Mildred Percy take care of the nieces and nephews while she is dealing with Mr. Wiggins as they try to figure out what they're going to do with their dragon. Even some of the characters that barely have any page time at all are a lot of fun, like the coach driver of the town who calls himself a squire. You'll meet Mr. Forthright's partner at some point later on, and he is a pretty fun character as well. All in all, the story just felt really alive. I also found that that I had just an absolutely difficult time putting the book down. I read the book in just a couple of days. I stayed up way past my bedtime reading it the first night, and the pages just turn by. I think that I got into that movie in my mind that I sometimes talk about page one, and I just felt at home immediately. I didn't have any trouble, figuring out character names or who people were. You remembered who those characters are the very first time you read them. That's something that occasionally I'll struggle with a large cast of characters. I think the only character who I disliked immediately had to have been Mildred's sister, Diana. She is absolutely a person who walks all over Mildred and takes advantage of her and her situation. And just really all she cares about is her social status. I think that because the story is slightly funny and ironic in the way that you sometimes like feel like you get with British stories in general, our author's not British, but I think she catches that feel of a British novel very well. And it doesn't take itself seriously like Pride and Prejudice would, right? You have characters who, when you're in Mildred's head, she's neurotic and she's just all thinking of random things all the time. She'll be eating a whole bunch of cakes and think, I really shouldn't eat so much. I'm getting a little stout. And, you know, it'll just be thoughts like that all the time. And they're definitely amusing. And I think that it's just an entertaining story. You don't have to be a fantasy fan to read this book. You can be a fan of fantasy and still enjoy it. There's still that dragon in there. And the dragon's fun too. It starts off like a baby. It's a cat sized, and or I think they describe it as chicken sized, weird chicken sometimes to start off with. And it's constantly growing, and you know, figuring out how they're going to deal with that is an important part of it. As far as the audience of it, I don't think anybody couldn't read this. You could have a young teen who would be able to read it. There's no nothing too scandalous in the story. Aside from a spinster and a vicar who should be quite the catch hanging out together, They've always got Mrs. Babington as a chaperone so that nothing looks like it's underhanded or salacious, of course. There's not a lot of cussing. There's not a lot of violence or anything like that. I kind of, when I say this, I kind of make it sound like it's not an incredibly entertaining story, but it is incredibly entertaining. I loved reading it. I will absolutely read the next one. This book is a hard 5 out of 5 for me. If you've ever listened to my podcast, I will often talk about what makes a hard 5 out of 5. And one of the things is that if I can't put the book down before bedtime, I often get up for work at 3 or 4 in the morning. So, you know, once 8 o'clock rolls around, then I'm trying to get myself to bed. And if I am going to keep on reading past that 8 o'clock, knowing that I might only get 5 or 6 hours of sleep, then it's clearly a good book if I want to keep doing that. That's absolutely one of the things that gets it. And another thing with this book is, right off the bat, I kind of knew how the book was probably going to end, or I had a pretty good idea of how the story was going to unfold, but I still didn't care. I still felt suspense. I still enjoyed it, and I still wanted to turn that next page so that I could see what was going to happen, because even though you know what's going to happen at least a little bit, it's still entertaining, and it's still fun, so much fun to read because of that. I would absolutely recommend reading, once again, Miss Percy's Pocket Guide to the Care and Feeding of British Dragons by Quinby Olson. I hope you all go out and pick up this book, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks.